No, this is not a natural V-neck. It is a scoop neck that ripped. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender from the laundry room. Where else would I be? This is where I hold court. This is where I study. This is where I sleep. This is where I read. Sometimes it's where I eat, not often. This is where I write on that futon back there. And this is where I wash my clothes. All right, we are in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. We've been on a journey here for over 3.5 years. And I want to remind you of an important thing here in the book of Revelation. Do not try to find the body of Christ in the book of Revelation. It's futile because it's not there. This is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This is the political and religious redemption of the earth. And when you're speaking of earth, you're speaking of the supremacy of Israel. Israel is always front and center when talking about earth. This is why the body of Christ, having a celestial destiny, it can be said of it that there's neither Jew nor Greek. You can't say that if your destiny is on earth. Because on earth, Israel is numero uno. Simple. That's a simple thing to remember. And if you keep that in place and you use that as a guard at the door, you will keep strange things from coming in that door. Such as imagining that Revelation 12, chapter 12, the verse about the constellation and the male child being born and being snatched away toward God and his throne. You'll make the mistake, if you don't put the guard at the door, the earth's about Israel, you'll make the mistake of injecting the body of Christ into that and saying, this is the snatching away of the body of Christ. No, it's not. This is a people of Israel, taken out of Israel, and they are being prepared to shepherd the nations with an iron club. The body of Christ is not going to shepherd the nations with an iron club. Remember the guard at the door. The nations are on earth. The iron club rule is disciplining the nations of the earth. I hear the word earth, therefore Israel has supremacy. The argument might be made, well, we're in the body of Christ, are we not? And is not Christ a priest on the earth? So therefore, this is the way the logic goes. This is bad logic. And therefore, it's not logic at all. Therefore, since we're in the body of Christ, and since Christ is not only the chief priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, he's also the bridegroom. Therefore, we, the body of Christ, are the bridegroom, and we are a priesthood. That's how far you could take this if you wanted to see that body of Christ membership means that where Christ is and what Christ is doing, you are doing. This is simply not the case. Jesus Christ is a being. He's a literal being. He's one person. He can be GPS'd. We can know where Christ is right now. The body of Christ is a figure of speech. Very important to note this. It's been my hallmark, really, throughout this whole series. You must recognize figures of speech or you will go off on bad trips. You'll take bad trips, like mushrooms. You'll be hallucinating a little bit. We don't want that. It's the example I could give you is like the president of the United States is head of the American body, the body American. I look at body as a collection of beings, like the student body. The body of Christ is a figure of speech. We are not literally the arms and legs of Jesus Christ, okay? He's the head. We're not talking about a skull covered with hair, containing a beard, a nose, two nostrils, eyes, no. A cleft on the chin, maybe? That's not, Christ isn't the head in that sense, okay? The body is used, Paul actually uses the human body, though, as a figure to explain it, to explain this concept, this reality, this truth, that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. That is, he's the inspiration, he's the energy, he's the animating force behind his members. And I look at it as not as when I think of it as a figure of speech, which it is, it's a figure of speech. It's helpful, more helpful to think of it as a student body, as the body American. So, for instance, when the president goes to China, do you go to China? No. And yet he represents the body. Jesus Christ represents the body. When Jesus Christ comes to earth to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek, does that mean we come to earth? We're a member of the body of Christ, so where he is, there we are. No, that's not true. We're all separate beings. Jesus Christ, it seems so simple to me, but I need to explain this. Jesus Christ is a separate being. We are all separate beings. But we're in Christed. That's the word you need to know. We are given that title. Christ is a title. That's why I say in Christed. Jesus, Christ is not his last name. So we're in Christ and we're given the authority and the power of Christ. And that way we're his body. In the example of the president, we have the power. We're called Americans. And the president is the head of America. So he represents us. Maybe he goes somewhere. He goes to Russia or to China. China. President goes to China. Do we go to China? No, we're here doing our jobs, working. I'm in the laundry room making a show. President's in China. Well, Jesus Christ can be anywhere. And just because we're his body doesn't mean that like we follow him like a tail on a dog. It doesn't follow. It's not logical. It's a non sequitur. See, because the body thing throws people off. It's a figure of speech. And people have asked me this. And here's another wrinkle on it. People say, well, how can Jesus be the ruler of the celestial world? How can he be sitting on a throne next to God and be a priest in Jerusalem? Well, he can't do both at the same time physically. He can't physically do both. But as I've said to you, David is actually king in Israel. Well, I thought Jesus was going to be king in Israel. Is it Jesus or David? It's both. One's absolute, one's relative. Jesus is the king. He delegates responsibility. He delegates, you see. And so he puts David in charge, and it can be said, Jesus Christ rules in Jerusalem. No, he doesn't. I was just in Jerusalem and David's sitting on that throne. No, it's still true. Jesus Christ rules. He rules through David. David is his authority. You see, David enacts his wishes and forwards his will. So we likewise forward Christ's will among the celestials. Our realm is inherent among the celestials. We're not going to be ruling any nations with a rod of iron. That is Israel's call. And Jesus may or may not be physically with Israel at the time. It applies to Israel too. He doesn't need to be actually present. He could be, he probably will be for some part of the time. Oh no, how can the body of Christ live in heaven when their head is down on earth? It's because we belong to him. We're in Christed. We have the authority and power of Christ, and we can operate quite independently of his physical presence. Yes, we can. And so, you know, it can be said Jesus reigns in the heavens. Well, I thought I saw him on earth. He was going into the temple. How can he be reigning in heaven? Oh, his body is reigning in heaven. Wait a minute. How can a head operate apart from the body? It's a figure of speech, my friends. It's a figure of speech. We're one, not in identity, but in purpose. Our purpose is way different than Israel's purpose. Then there's the term snatching away. The term snatching away is used in Revelation chapter 12, speaking of the male son that is snatched away toward God and toward the throne. And people get excited. Oh, there's the term snatching away. This is a bad mistake to take a similar wording. And because one passage, say, of the circumcision evangel uses a word, and a passage in the uncircumcision evangel uses the same word, that means we're talking about the same thing, the same people, the same destiny, the same purpose. No, this is complete non sequitur. It absolutely does not follow. Is the circumcision saved? Yes. Is the uncircumcision saved? Yes. I just proved that the circumcision evangel and the uncircumcision evangel are the same. How could you say that, Martin? They're both saved. Is that logical? No. Well, Jesus Christ is the common being between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, is he not? Is he the Lord of the circumcision? Yes. Is he the Lord of the uncircumcision? Yes. Ha! More proof that there's no difference between Paul's gospel and Peter's gospel. No. This for this, that for that. Jesus is a multitasker. He can do his earth thing and he can do his heaven thing. He does his heaven thing with the body of Christ. This is simple. And he does his earth thing with Israel. Am I saying ne'er the twain shall meet? Practically and productively, yes, that is what I'm saying. Does that mean we can't go to earth after we're in heaven? No, I've said we're going to earth. I have a meeting with my friend Charlie Kronk, who's now dead. We're going to meet in my backyard on the porch area where it once stood, where it once lay, during the 1,000 years. So yeah, we could be hobnobbing back and forth. But to say that we're going to be shepherding the nations just because we're members of the body of Christ and Christ is shepherding the nations, that is completely illogical. Other than that, it's great. And the snatching away. Look at the difference between, I mean, I'm just saying all this from off the top of my head, but look at the difference between 1 Thessalonians 4 and Revelation 12. Who are alive, who remain to the coming of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4, will be snatched away to meet Jesus Christ in the air. In Revelation 12, they're snatched away, the male son is snatched away toward God and toward his throne. Toward God, toward his throne, not toward Christ, not to Christ, but toward God and toward his throne. I've told you this is them moving toward a position of ruling and reigning, where when they will be, then logically thereafter, shepherding the nations with a rod of iron. Yeah, it's a mistake to look for Israel in or look for the body of Christ in Revelation. That's the guard at the door. Once you realize that, there's just two simple things. The earth is for Israel. Reigning on earth is for Israel. And really, that's the thing. That's it. When you're dealing with circumcision writings, you're dealing with the circumcision. Revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's not an elaboration or an inside look at the snatching away mentioned by Paul in 1 Thessalonians. It's a completely different thing. Oh, the trumpet is another place people get tripped up. I see a trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 15. At the last trump, we will be changed. And there's a trumpet blown in Revelation. The seventh trump. Two trumpets. But it's the same trumpet. Why is it the same? So therefore, the seventh trumpet must be the snatching away of the body of Christ. See, this is how mixed up you can get. If you go down the rabbit hole of similar wording, or if you go down the rabbit hole of assuming that being a member of the body of Christ means that you go wherever Christ is, that means we're going to marry Israel. If we're members of the body of Christ and Christ marries Israel, we're marrying Israel. But we're not marrying Israel. I don't want to marry Israel. That's interesting that in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor a female. There's no whiff or thought of marriage. But on the earth with Israel, there's all kinds of thoughts of marriage. How can we escape it if we're members of Christ's body? It's because he's even acting in a role as their Jewish Messiah on earth. Then he goes back to heaven and he puts on his celestial suit. Again, he's a distinct being. He can operate in China and we can operate among the celestials, and we're just as united, just as one, as if we were in literal proximity, literal physical proximity. Jesus said to his disciples, I pray that you may be one as we are one. Him and his God were one. And many people make that mistake. If you want to make this mistake, keep making it, and you'll end up making the grand mistake that Jesus and God are the same beings because they're one. Well, they're one. We're one with Christ. So we're the same beings as Christ. And we stand next to Israel during the marriage supper of the Lamb or during the marriage ceremony of the Lamb. No. Nope. 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 All right. I think I've covered that. Let's see now. Revelation. Love. Love the book of Revelation. Now, this is what's happened to me over the last 3.5 years. Ooh, 3.5 years. That's what I'm approaching, 3.5 years. I love the book of Revelation. Now, used to be a big mystery. It's not anymore. I'm in verse 3 of Revelation 22, which is the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's about the political, religious redemption of the earth. Yes, we do get, going back again, we do get a glimpse into heaven, into the third heaven. Yes, at the time we're getting this glimpse, the body of Christ is in heaven. And I've told you before, if John had looked a foot to the right, he would have seen the body of Christ. So I'm not saying the body of Christ isn't doing things while this unveiling is taking place. It's like it's not like we're not in on it. It's not like we're not interested in it. It's not like we don't have a vested interest in what Jesus Christ is doing on earth or what's happening at the Great White Throne Judgment. I've told you that the body of Christ will be involved actually judging in the Great White Throne Judgment. We read about the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation chapter 20. But it's not identified, it's not discussed, it's out there, it's not in the purview of John, it's not in his interest or the interest of his readers to talk about anything about the body of Christ. We're not mentioned. The book of Acts, case in point, the book of Acts mentions the Apostle Paul, talks about his goings about, his doings in and among the Epicurean Stoic philosophers in Athens, talks about his trip to Cyprus with Barnabas, talks about his shipwreck. Oh, it must be about the body of Christ. It's not. It's about the fortunes of the kingdom. It's still a kingdom book. Just because it mentions Paul doesn't mean, oh, this is a new book for the body of Christ. Acts, new book for the body of Christ. No, Paul is dealing with the Jews. Paul is dealing with the Jews. It's a Jewish book. Paul is dealing with the Jews. Oh, I see Paul. I see Paul. Must be the body of Christ. Let's read Acts and do what it says. Acts chapter 4. Repent and be baptized. That's the mistake you're going to make if you follow this malodorous scent that the mention of a thing or a person means that letter is written to you or that it's about you or that it concerns you or that you're an actor on the stage. So, of course, during the events of Revelation, the body of Christ has already, for at least the second half of it, has already been vivified and is seated with Christ. But they're not mentioned. It's not the burden of Revelation or John or the Holy Spirit to mention the body of Christ in the book of Revelation. It's that simple. You have to force it in there. It's natural to see it all Israelites. The male son is Israelites. The woman is Israel. Israelites. Yeah, that's natural. Ooh, it's so easy. Slows. It's the easy thing. You have to really look at it cockeyed and take some illogical twists and turns to say that. This is a secret look into a secret of Paul's. The snatching away of the body of Christ. Because there's the word snatching away. No, it's a bad practice. Let's see here. Oh, I love this in verse 3. There shall be no more any doom. And the throne of God and the Lamb can shall be in it. No more any doom. I like that wording there. There shall be no more any doom. No more any doom around here. There's one thing I hate. It's doom. I hate doom. I hate the spelling of it. I hate the phonetics of it. I hate how it sounds. I guess that's the phonetics. Doom. I hate the two O's followed by an M. Doom. It's just doom. What? It's that horrible feeling you get. The pit in your stomach when you wake up at night and you remember that everything sucks. Something bad happened, you're sleeping, sweet unconsciousness, you wake up, and it seems everything seems fine at first, and then something comes in your mind, and you get that horrible sinking feeling in your heart and your stomach. That, ladies and gentlemen, is doom. Thank God there are not three O's in that frickin' word, because I would not even be willing to pronounce it. It's hard enough as it is. Doom. We're doomed. I have a feeling of impending doom. What doom shall visit us today? But doom shall be not more. There shall be not more any doom. They will remove a vowel from it and it will become dom. They will remove the final consonant, it will become do. They will remove the O and it will become d. And pretty soon the D will be removed and it will simply be. That's what I'm looking forward to.